Om Shanti. So today we have three things: your stage, your happiness, and thirdly, your attainments. And this is what Baba was speaking about in the Murli today. So first of all, your stage. Here we have a stage, and the soul is sitting on a seat, and the seat is on the stage. Of course, we are familiar with these analogies. Baba tells us the soul is an actor. So that means the actor is on stage, sitting in the seat of self-respect, so we have to look at that too, and performing. So a lot of people, they are allergic to the idea of performing because they feel that that is not real. Anybody like that here? Anybody? One, two, three. Yeah. So you have to reconcile your allergy with what Baba says. The soul is an actor, and action must be performed. You cannot not do any action. Being inactive, you have to be either asleep or in a coma or dead. So we don't want to be any of those. We are alive, we are aware, and we are in the world of time and space, which is also called history and geography. And we are surrounded by people, places, and objects with which we interact. And so we have to act. So we are actors. Now, an actor finds themselves in a situation. Situations arise according to the drama. So the drama is going on, we are actors in it, and we are dealing with situations that arise, persist, and then subside, followed by other ones that arise, persist, and subside. And you find within that, that there are some situations that you have absolutely no control over. So in that case you say, well, it is the drama and I have to accept it. Right? Then there are other situations where the situation actually requires you to act. And if you don't act, then you perform a sin of omission, which is not so good. Or you may take sorrow from that situation, in which case you're performing a negative karma by taking sorrow. So that's not so good. So this is a school for actors, and we have to act, and we are on stage whether we like it or not. So it is not possible for an actor in the world drama to get off stage. Even if you're in a little room all by yourself and you lock the door, you're still on stage. Because the impression of your stage, your feeling, your sense of self is printed in the mind space. So someone will notice it, feel it, see it. And so you've been seen, noticed, and felt. So one of the things that we learn very much in Gyan is that thoughts are very powerful and they can be perceived by anyone, especially yogis. You know, you can always feel what's being thought. If you go into a place where the BKs are very yogi, then you'll feel that, even if there's nobody there, because the impression is there in that space. Have you done that? Have you felt that? Then if you go in another space where the BKs are not so focused on yoga, you'll feel that too, won't you? And so we have this capacity to feel the overall imprint or impression of the thoughts that are going on in any place. And that is called the atmosphere and vibration. So when we're talking about our stage, we're also talking about how we and in what way we create atmosphere, vibration, and these impressions in the air, in the space that can be felt by the mind, which is also a sense organ for sensing the intangible. And so thoughts are generally thought of as intangible, but once we become yogis, we realize that they're not so intangible, they're actually quite tangible. So our third eye is there to see the things that our two eyes cannot see, but just because we can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. So we can see the atmosphere, we can feel, we can pick up all sorts of things. Now, a very interesting thing which Daddy Jenki mentioned the other day when she was speaking about the chit. You remember a few days ago she was talking about the chit? And we have this expression, Sat Chit Ananda. You know this word, Sat Chit Ananda. So Sat means truth, chit means, usually you hear it translated as the memory track, but it's also been translated as awareness. And it is a dimension of consciousness where you pick things up. And Dadi was saying that when the intellect is filled with truth, then that goes on the chit. And the chit is then blissful. You remember that? A few days ago. It was a very, very deep point, actually. And so it needs us to ruminate on that for a few hundred years, you know. Because when Dadi expresses some of her deep thoughts, because she goes so deep into the meaning of ideas, and she has arrived at that understanding after many, many years of cogitation and rumination and all of this, then it means that her statements contain a great deal of significance, and we then have to sort of unpack it and roll it around in our mind in order to be able to really take the full benefit, so that we too can have the realization of a chit that is filled with bliss because you keep only the truth in your awareness. And so when we're talking about our stage, it's very much to do with these things. So one of the things that I've been talking about for a while is that our stage is made of three particular dimensions or areas within the consciousness. One of them, which I call the foundation of the stage, is these five elemental qualities of the soul, which are purity, peace, power, love, and bliss. And I feel that when the energy of the soul is depleted, having passed through 84 births, then your levels of these five elemental qualities are almost zero, which means that the empty space left by the absence of those is a kind of darkness, because the soul itself is light, and the light of the soul is an energy of consciousness which is made up of these qualities: purity, peace, power, love, and bliss. And the soul who is filled with these qualities, who thinks, who comprehends, and who performs, that those thoughts, comprehensions, and actions, they're determined by whether we are filled or not. And when that light is gone, then it is, then there is darkness, and the darkness causes the thoughts and comprehensions and activities to be negative. And then the result is you suffer, at which point you're not happy. So the stage is very important in order for us to be happy. And these expressions like love, happiness, peace, etc., all these positive words, very often people think of them as some sort of an emotion. But I don't. I think of them not at all as an emotion. So that means they're not feelings, but they're more like conditions, a condition of your being. You see, when we're experiencing what's known as sense pleasure, very often we use the word happiness, joy, etc., to refer to sense pleasures. And we will use these words, happiness and joy, indiscriminately for a sense pleasure or something much deeper. But because we're really unpacking and deconstructing the consciousness, we find that if we're indiscriminate in our use of words, it creates less clarity in our thinking, in our understanding, and then we find that we are less able to sustain, you know, pure thoughts, because you can use those same words referring to something waste, and the same words referring to something powerful. And when you don't discriminate, then you're not creating delineations between the section of thinking which is powerful, the section which is waste, and the section which is bad. So, because we think a lot of the time in words, it makes a difference if we're a bit particular which words we use to mean what. So sometimes when I'm teaching people about values and virtues and all of this, I would often suggest that you have a dictionary with you, so that you look up the word. It doesn't matter what language you're using, but look up the word, and the dictionary will tell you what that word means and how it's used. And you will find in many instances, particularly to do with words that refer to qualities and emotions and feelings, that the way we use these words is very imprecise. And when you look in the dictionary, you find that you're using a word which means something, but you mean something else. And then you say that either to yourself or to somebody else, and they will not understand what you mean, because the word you're using has a different meaning than what you are intending to communicate. And you never really realize these things until you start playing around with the dictionary. So it's actually quite a good book to have with you. And when we're talking about our stage, it's very much a product of how we think to ourselves, which is sometimes called self-talk. So in the simple form of meditation, we say, you know, when we're meditating or teaching people how to meditate or learning how to meditate, I am a pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful soul, I am not a body, etc. We use these words, right? So that means thinking is verbal, even if it's inside your mind. And so it matters what words you say to yourself inside your mind. And one of the reasons is because the meaning of the word creates a feeling. It creates an atmosphere. It creates a tone and a quality. And it reverberates back to the soul, to you, the soul. So if you think a thought which is not true, you will actually damage yourself. And I think people don't quite realize how much influence this has, or how much impact this has, because thoughts are so subtle. And very often we might think, it doesn't matter what I think. But actually it matters enormously what I think. For example, if you say, I feel gloomy today. You might feel gloomy today. And you say to yourself, I feel gloomy today. And then you follow that by, I am gloomy. Which is quite a step. And then you start becoming gloomy, and more gloomy, until you finally say to yourself, you know, I think I'd better quit making myself gloomy. And by that time, you've gone down quite a long road, and you have to come back. So the analogy of roadways is actually quite useful for our thinking process, because the sustained thoughts that we think, where the thoughts are following one after the other after the other, correspond to a journey. Anyway, we hear about remembrance or yoga being a journey, so that means one thought after another after another after another. You create a stream, rather like a stream of traffic, and you are actually going in a particular direction. So it's very similar to traveling on a road. And the process of Raj Yoga involves becoming very aware of the roads down which we normally travel, which lead to states of being which we may or may not want to live in, you see. Because the way we live inside our head is a direct consequence of the stream of thoughts that we think, and then that becomes our stage, you see. So in order for us to make a stage that is what we want to have, or the stage that we want to sit on or live in, means we have to be very particular that the thoughts that we think are actually true about the self, about our condition, our situation, and so on. So when you are thinking, observe yourself carefully. What thoughts am I thinking? Now, where do thoughts come from? You say, okay, thoughts arise in the mind. Well, that's fine, but they come from somewhere else, into the mind. Where do they come from? They come from the sanskaras. And where do your sanskaras come from? Your karma. And where does your karma come from? Your thoughts. So we've got a circle going on here. And when you are caught in a vicious circle, we call it a vicious circle. It's interesting that this word vicious is used in regular language, and it's also used in Baba's language to refer to someone who is thinking, speaking, and acting on the basis of vices. So we have the five vices: greed, anger, lust, attachment, ego, which are all the expression of something we call body consciousness. And body consciousness comes from a number of things. One thing it comes from is loss of the light, of those five qualities I mentioned earlier. Secondly, body consciousness comes from identifying the self with matter. And thirdly, body consciousness comes from being weak. Usually when somebody is acting on the basis of the five vices, people tend to say this person is bad. But in fact, I think it's more useful to say actually not bad, but definitely weak. And the problem with thinking or saying I am bad or you are bad or somebody is bad is that it inspires you to correct, to punish, to change the other person. But if you change that word bad and instead say weak, then it means that you have to respond to that in a very different way. Because there's no point in punishing somebody for being weak. It doesn't make any sense. Somebody's weak, then you have to strengthen them. Or if you are weak, then you have to strengthen yourself. You see. So, if we want to build our stage, part of it is to shift away from any areas where we might be weak, which means that the light of the soul is a bit dim because of lack of absorption of light from Shiv Baba. And so when you're taking light from Shiv Baba, you know, the light, the physical light, is made of these seven colors of the rainbow, but the light of Shiv Baba is made of these five qualities of the soul: purity, peace, power, love, and bliss. So when you are filled with those, and the soul is actually experiencing that I am okay, I feel complete, I feel solid, then that is going to help a great deal in thinking, talking, and doing actions that correspond to that state of being full. However, when we allow thoughts of the, you can say, the old roadways to occur, then you go off into the world of darkness again. And the problem is that we are not very attentive on our thoughts due to being very, Baba calls externalized or extroverted. That means the attention of the self is very much operating on the surface of the body, and that you are very caught up in the the impressions that are coming into your soul through the sense organs. That means what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you touch, you know, and taste. And that means that the soul is disconnected from itself. So that is also body consciousness. And this is why if we want to build our stage, then it's very necessary for us to, as Baba spoke about in the Murali today, it's important for us to have solitude. Or yesterday. So solitude, how do you experience silence and solitude when you're in the midst of chaos, noise, people, and all that? Well, it depends on the extent to which you are turned within. So when we meditate, our practice is always to turn within and try to create quite a distance between I, the self, in my inner space, perceiving the physical world and everything that's going on in it through the sense organs, you see. And if we don't have sense organs, then the world doesn't exist. So there's a very interesting expression that occasionally comes into the Murali, which you can hear. The expression is, when you are dead, the world is dead for you. And that has actually quite a lot of deep meaning. And it's everything to do with our relationship with our sense organs and our sense perception. And our sense organs are part of the human body. And when we are dead, then we can no longer use those sense organs, and so we have no contact with the world, good, bad, or indifferent, you see. So we in Raj Yoga are practicing these exercises of withdrawing ourselves from being caught up in what's very often spoken of as the illusion of the material world. Now, we know it's real, no question about it, but why people say that the physical world is an illusion is because it's ephemeral. You know this word, ephemeral? That's something you can look up in the dictionary. Ephemeral is a very interesting word, which means that it's, you know, very fleeting. It appears and disappears very quickly. And sometimes people use the term mirage for that. You know, they say this is like a mirage. It looks like it's there, but it's not really there. And what happens, why these expressions are used, is because we tend to assign much more meaning to these physical realities than they deserve, in so far as we let them affect our stage. You see. So Shiv Baba is not bothered about what people do, because he knows who he is and he knows what the drama is. So he's really not bothered, although most of the religions think that he gets terribly upset with all sorts of things, but he really doesn't. Because he is immune. One of the things he mentions in the Murali is, you know, you shouldn't bother about how much you get insulted, because I get insulted much more than you. So, you know, why are you bothered? I'm not bothered. And, you know, he's telling us many, many different ways to become like himself. You know, we want to be Bapsaman. That means we want our stage to be like the stage of consciousness of Shiv Baba. So Shiv Baba exists in a perpetual state of bliss. So if you go back to this expression, Sat Chit Anand, that is an expression that refers to God, where they say he is the truth, he is aware, he is blissful. But if you look at it through the lens of Daddy Jenki's interpretation, it gives us a very interesting clue about how we can adjust our thinking and how we feel about ourselves so that we can be quite easily very blissful, because we are not under the influence of the fleeting things that happen in the material world, and especially the question of insult. And why insult is important is because Baba says that the way that we can detect our ego is wherever something happens and we have a feeling of being insulted. You remember that? And so we go along quite happily thinking, well, I don't have any ego, you know, other people have lots of ego. And then something happens, it can be a very small thing, and you feel insulted by that thing. Maybe you got passed over, or somebody said something that you took as an insult, or many, many things can occur to cause this feeling of being insulted to arise, and it's an emotion. And this is the key to knowing that, okay, yes, there is still some ego, that means still some body consciousness, that means you're still susceptible to this whole thing of your stage getting put out of order by some sense perception. Because when a person says something to you, you experience it through your ears as a sense perception. And what Baba is teaching us is that we have to be so in command of our response to the different things that are happening that we become truly masters. So just as he is a master, the master of the world, because he absolutely knows the truth. He knows who he is, he knows what the drama is, he knows who we are and all of this. And this truth is in his awareness at all times. And then he tells all this truth to us so that it can be in our awareness. And then, of course, he tests us all the time, all the time. Baba tests us, drama tests us, the other BKs test us, everything tests us. All day long we're having some test or another, is that right? And why are we having all these tests is because without them, we cannot be sufficiently attentive or sufficiently sensitive to what's, you can say in a sense, what's really going on underneath and behind the things that we can detect through our sense perceptions, which are in fact very superficial levels of reality. They're real, but it doesn't matter that much. So what matters? What matters is how I manage it, how I interpret it, how I dance with it, so that I succeed in remaining very filled with the awareness of the truth, very aware, and then, of course, anand, bliss. So happiness, in this sense, isn't really, feeling happy as an emotion, but happiness has another meaning in Hindi, where they use the word sukh. It actually refers to a certain condition where you have all the necessary things. Now, a day or two ago, there was something called International World Happiness Day. Do you know about this? It's the United Nations Day of Happiness. And what they found was the happiest people in the world are the people in Denmark. Do we have any Danish people here? Okay, so the Danish people are the happiest in the world, not because they keep smiling and laughing and all, but because they have certain things in their lives which are a happiness index, and which actually applies very much here. In order to have happiness, you need to have good relations with everyone. So we know how to do that. And you have to have good health. We know how to endure ill health, so that makes us have good health, right? We know how to take care of ourselves. And you have to have enough money, so we learn how to live simply, so that our money, Baba always tells us, I give you enough, if you don't waste it, you will be alright, you'll have enough, I give you enough. And then the feeling of community, so in BKs we always have other BKs somewhere around, so we have a feeling of community. And we, in order to have happiness, you have to have some meaningful life, meaningful activities and so on, so we do service. And of course you must have experienced every time you do service, every time you do any kind of philanthropic action, the return of that comes to you immediately in the form of an experience of happiness. So if we move away from truth and we slide into the negative thinking or the waste thinking that comes from any kind of being externalized or body conscious, then we will sustain thoughts which actually steal away our happiness, and that is because of lack of attention more than anything else. So you have to be very attentive what we're thinking and how we're interpreting what's going on. And you see, this then is where you're looking at the connection between your stage and your happiness. Now, in terms of your attainments, Baba very often reminds us what our attainments are. And you know there is this expression, count your blessings. Very common English expression, count your blessings. Why do people advise each other to do that? Is because when we are weak, when that light is dim, then you see the consciousness tends to see the dark side of things, and you start looking at what you haven't got, complaining, blaming, all of this type of thing goes on. And then the waste thoughts happen, and you become unaware of truth. So then, well, happiness is gone, your stage is gone, etc. So, the first attainment we have is we've understood who we are. That's a huge attainment. We have been trying to do that for 2,500 years. Now we know who we are. We know we're souls. We know we're the cream of the cream of the souls in the world. We have God. We have recognized Baba. If you haven't recognized Baba, you're unlikely to be sitting here. Or if you are sitting here, you won't be sitting here long if you haven't recognized Baba. Because that's what keeps us here, the recognition of Baba. And once you've recognized Baba, then you start to study every point in the Murali is worth hundreds of thousands. You must have heard this from time to time in the Murali. Each jewel of knowledge is worth hundreds of thousands. But if you are a monkey, that means somebody with five vices, if you're a monkey, you'll throw away the jewels in favor of chickpeas. Monkeys like chickpeas. And if you give them jewels, they can't eat them, they don't value them. And so the person who is unaware, away from truth, they will actually not value the jewels of knowledge. What do we have to do to make sure that we are, you know, continuously enriching ourselves by applying, you know, and investing the jewels of knowledge in our own selves? Baba had talked in the Murali about the two types of effort makers. There are some who find it quite hard going, and others who feel that Baba is moving them along, right? And so you have to look inside yourself and see, well, you know, am I one of those that you just feel Baba is moving you along? You don't have to walk, you're just like in Baba's hands and he's moving you along. And of course, in order to do that, the main thing is that you have to follow Srimad. And so Srimat means the things that Baba tells us. And we have to not follow the things that other people tell us. And other people means, effectively, as you know, toxic, conventional morality. Toxic ethics. Because those things are created by body-conscious people. And they have got into the conventional thinking. And people say that these are good. And so you've absorbed that thing which is bad as good. And then if that's good, and what Baba says is good, then you become unable to discriminate between what's really good and what is described as good, but which isn't actually good. And so this is why Baba has given us the power of discrimination. And it's very important for us to have love for God in the intellect. So love for God in the intellect has nothing to do with love for God in the heart or love for God in the feelings, you see. Love for God in the intellect is in a way a much deeper place because the intellect is connected with the conscience. So the conscience lets you know if the thought you are having is true or false, worthwhile or worthless. You know, and one of the interesting interpretations of the Hindi word for waste is meaningless. So the Hindi word for waste is vyart. And vyart, if you divide up the word, actually literally means something that doesn't have any meaning. And I find that quite useful because the word waste is not so immediately clear that what is waste, you know. We don't normally use waste along with thoughts. But if we say, okay, I just thought a meaningless thought, right? And you'll immediately catch it. And you will not allow yourself to continue along that road of that meaningless thought, because it's meaningless. And we cannot allow ourselves as knowledgeable souls, enlightened souls, illuminated souls, to think a meaningless thought, because it's completely inconsistent with our identity, right? So if you notice that you thought a meaningless thought, that meaningless thought would have arisen from an old sanskara. So it's okay that it does that. You can't do anything about that. But what you can do something about is whether you pursue that line of thinking or whether you put a stop to it. So when you notice, hey, I just thought a meaningless thought, okay, stop. Go back to your intellect filled with truth and transform that line of thinking into a line that actually carries you to a good destination. Because, see, we have to work with our mind in such a way that it's really workable. And what happens with the mind is thoughts come in a flow like water, you see. And anywhere where they create dams in rivers, right? There are a lot of places where there are dams. And wherever you create a dam, you create a damn mess as well. because it damages the ecology, and it damages the people who live in the flooded area, and it damages the water, and eventually the earth will probably destroy that dam. Now, if you do that with your thoughts, just try and block the flow of thoughts, you create damage in your spirit. So we don't have to do that. We have to take that stream of thoughts and turn it so that it goes in a good direction. So a waste thought arises from an old sanskar, which comes from a negative stream of karma, but you catch it with your enlightened intellect and you say, okay, that's a meaningless thought. Then you apply your power of transformation, because you have to turn it into something with meaning. And you have plenty of knowledge, plenty of analogies, plenty of ways in which you can actually look at that thing which is going to take you to not a good place and see how you can turn it so that it takes you to a good place. A place of meaningfulness, a place of personal strength, a place of wisdom, a place of caution, whatever it is, you see. And then you realize that these powers, power of transformation or other powers, they are really big attainments. You know, if you think about it, if you didn't have knowledge, where would you be? In a bad state, you'd be absolutely not okay, you see. So each and every grain of knowledge that we have, and when we have figured out ways to actually use it and turn everything to our benefit, that is called being sensible or knowledgeable or wise, you see. So that means our attitude towards ourself, our attitude towards our iron aged past is quite compassionate, quite neutral, because we wouldn't say, I was bad. We would say, I had less power than I have now. Simple, quite a neutral statement. And when the soul is disempowered, then obviously it will do weak actions. But as we begin to fill and become empowered and enlightened and illuminated, then the action, of course, corresponds very naturally with the way that Baba is, and then we ourselves become more based in truth, much more attentive to what's happening on the inside, and much more, we live much more in the inner world, which of course puts us in a position of command or mastery in regard to the external world. And another word that I will change is this idea, this word self-respect that we use for Swaman. And I tend to use the word self-honor because it's easier to work with that. You know, to sit on a seat of self-honor with titles of self-honor is much easier to put together than to sit on a seat of self-respect with titles of self-respect. It's not so easy to create that. But when you think of the word self-honor, which is exactly a perfectly good translation for Swaman, and also honor has everything to do with titles, you see. Yeah, so my title is, I'm a child of God. So if anybody doesn't like that, that's too bad, right? That's what I am, you see. So you hold yourself in your position of honor, on your seat, on your stage, you know. I am, you know, a student of God, direct, you know, no indirect anything, a direct student of God. I listen to the word of God every day and I absorb to a greater or lesser extent what he says, and that's your identity. I am a person who is always in the company of God, in the company of Baba. So Baba is always with me. This is a guarantee, you see. So you're never alone. And so anything that comes into your mind through a sense perception will always have to come up against this huge mountain of knowledge, which will consider that message that has come in through the sense perception, and you'll have a reply to it, which in a way puts it in its place, so it can't take over or dominate or change your position from one of mastery to one of subservience, you see. Because if somebody tells you you're a complete idiot, you know, which they might, you look at that, a complete idiot. No, I'm not a complete idiot. It's your problem, not my problem. You see? So it doesn't have any impact, any negative impact at all, because you immediately give it back where it came from. It doesn't suit, it doesn't fit. Or somebody says, oh, you're a bad BK because blah, blah, blah. So you look at the other, yeah? No, I'm not a bad BK, I'm a perfectly good BK. Go away. You know. As it, see how you can really use it to not take on anything anyone might say to make you feel bad about yourself. Because if you take it on, take it in, accept it, and immediately you have climbed off of your seat of self-honor by accepting it, you know. Dadi Gulzar has a very lovely little story that she tells in this regard. She says, if somebody would give you a handful of cow dung, would you accept it? Definitely you wouldn't. So don't accept all these other things either. Because it only bothers you after you have accepted it and taken it as something that somebody gave you, you know. Or sometimes you hear this expression, you made me angry. We can't say that. They might have done something to provoke you, but if you got provoked, that means something wrong in here. Nothing to do with out there, you see. So, we've run out of time. Don't know which clock is the right one. I think it's that one. And so let us have our half an hour of Numasham meditation. Do you know this word, Numasham? This is the word, like you have Amrit Vela, that's the morning one, and the evening is Numasham, the dusk meditation. And so, Om Shanti. So I'm going to share with you a few words of commentary. Turn the attention within. And become aware of I, the Self. The beautiful, point of light. I let myself go deeper and deeper inside. And become just a point of pure consciousness. I am in the inner space. My relationship with the physical world is neutral. I am detached from the sense impressions. As I go deeper inside, come into the world of silence. I apply a full stop to everything in the past. And in this present moment, I become present for myself, with myself. disconnect myself from the flow of time and space. Holding myself in this 1 second of time. Letting each second dissolve as the next one comes. This allows me to make contact with Baba. And feel the vibration coming from that source. Timeless One is with me. Very slow pulsations of energy. Touch the soul. And I absorb power from Shri Baba. I go deeper into stillness. And I enter the dimension of light. I am in the world of stillness. The world of silent light. And the waves of Baba's love reach me. Flow over me and through me. And I am filled with that love. The waves of love continue and spread throughout the world. The light of Baba's purity enters the soul and drives away any remaining darkness. The soul shines powerfully. And is filled with strength. I go deeper into stillness.